this is Rob Gellis, and I'm talking today to Susan Rabb, the historian of Germantown. Susan, can you tell me about the Germantown Parsonage?
I can. The Germantown Parsonage was built in 1767. It was built by Palatines. It has been home to pastors, lay people, doctors through the years. It was inhabited by a German couple named Eckert, and their mission was to make this a living museum. So they spent a good portion of their lives collecting antiques and period pieces that would then be part of the living museum. They also gave this piece of property and the property across the street to the town of Germantown. And through the years, Germantown divested itself of the other piece of the property, but thankfully kept the parsonage.
Can you tell me a little bit about the Palatine Germans that came here?
Yeah, I can tell you a little bit. They came during between 1690 and 1710 from the Palatinate region. They came because Robert Hunter had an idea that he could help Queen Anne colonize, as was her mission. So the time was right in what would become Germany. The weather conditions, the political conditions, drove people to migrate from the Palatinate to England, and then the Palatines were in England for as refugees for a period of time, and then came here. They came, landed in New York City, and were put on Nutton Island, which is now Governor's Island. And in the spring of, in October of 1710, they were sent here to colonize. There were some political hoops that needed to be jumped through. Some of the funding from Queen Anne was lost because of decisions made by the Board of Trade. So Governor Hunter had to actually cut a deal with Robert Livingston, who owned massive amounts of land. And so Governor Hunter pretty much sacrificed everything he had and bought that property, and they were going to be indentured servants for a period of time, and then they would actually get their land. As they were settling in here, they were finding that it wasn't exactly what it was chalked up to be. They had been misled. So all but 63 families left the area. They went out into the Schoharie Valley, where the geology and the topography and the soil was much more conducive to farming the way they were used to farming. But the 63 families who stayed here eked out a living. They became farmers, they became craftsmen, and it did take them about 40 years, Alvin, to get their patent?
Yeah, 1743.
Something like that, 1743. Yeah.
Owned the land out.
Mm-hmm. And the interesting thing is that some of those families' descendants are still here. The family names that are on our plaque have sustained life in this small community. This was the single largest migration in colonial times. And people don't understand, nobody asks really, but we find that that's an interesting detail of the history of Germantown, is that there were many, many more people than any other place at that time.
Now, maybe you can introduce me. There's a gentleman here who came in. Maybe you could introduce him to the audience?
Sure. This actually is the true historian, brains behind this whole culture. And this is Alvin Sheffer. He is also a descendant of the original immigrants who came to Germantown. He holds names and dates in his mind like no one else. He's absolutely brilliant when it comes to the history of the Palatines, vernacular architecture. He's a walking encyclopedia. So I'm proud to introduce him, Alvin Sheffer.
I'm not sure we... Alvin, you can be here to add to it the dates. I have a interest here because I came here maybe a few months ago, and it was already been closed for the day, but my son and I got out and walked around, and a gentleman, Richard Coons, was in here, and my son, who's never shy, tapped on the door, and he let us in, and he gave us a little quick tour of the ground. So I kept on passing it. I wasn't sure where it was. People in Germantown tried to direct me, and my son is very perceptive. He found the plaque.
That's good. That's great.
So this must be what we see here is a lot of work has been put into it since it came available for...
Well, we have I don't know if you took a tour of the first floor. Did you get to go down there? Okay, so that would have been the first part of the dwelling. And it would have been dirt floor. It's not now. It's been filled in with, cement pad. That's where the family would have done all of their daily life. There's a hearthless fireplace. Which is indicative of German architecture. It doesn't have a shelf in front of it.
On sides.
And also
jamless fireplace.
Jamless fireplace. And also the beams downstairs. I don't know if Richard pointed out the beams
there.
There's a beading on the corner of the beam, which is also characteristic of German architecture.
Now, Palatine region of Germany is where in Germany?
On a German map, it would be the Pfalz area around Heidelberg, Speyer, in that area. There's an upper and a lower Pfalz.
Were these people Protestants that mostly came here?
They were mainly Lutheran and Reformed. If you were a Catholic at that time and you were going to England, they would send you back to Germany, because of the religious, thing that was going on in England.
Right. So when people came here, wanted to come here, and they migrated to England first. Can you throw a number at how many actually migrated to?
Historians would argue anywhere from 15,000 to 30,000.
Right. And so then. The English sent back the people to Ireland, the Catholic to Ireland, and
the Catholics pretty much, didn't make it out of Rotterdam. If they did, they sort of fibbed because they were asked if they were Protestant or Catholic, and being with Henry VIII and the whole thing with breaking from the Catholic Church. They pretty much, having said that, there were probably a few Catholics that, when they were asked,
said that they weren't Catholic.
And might have made it here because there was, there was two different, ministers that came over with them. Kokerthal was the Lutheran minister, and Hager was the Reformed minister. Not to get confused with Dutch Reformed, they were German Calvinist Reformed.
This parsonage was the church that this belonged to originally?
The proper nomenclature was the Calvinist German Sanctity Reformed Church.
We should stop for a second.
So you could say that was.
Close that door.
Huh?
close that door, maybe it'll be quieter.
But also part of the deal for sending them over, they were trying to encourage a lot of them to join the Church of England, mm-hmm. the Episcopal Church. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But it didn't, you know, work that well, because when they came here in the fall, especially the Lutherans, pretty much abandoned any idea of being apostolized into the Episcopal Church. But the Reform Minister Hager, you know, was sort of responsible, because he when he was in England, he not only was a Reform Minister, but he had also, the Church of England also had taken and made him a minister of the, you know, the evangelical, you know.
So he served two.
Right, and his job was, but he didn't, you know, religions. He pretty much failed. So to go back to answer your question, yeah, they were, you know, Protestants.
And you said 63 families stayed?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep.
And descendants are here today?
Yeah, as evidenced in the...
The gentleman that you let your son and you in, Richard Coombs, is the descendant of mm-hmm. the Palatines.
Mm-hmm. And my children are also descendants of Palatines, although I'm not. On their father's side, yeah. Their descendants.
And some of the names that, you know, are still very familiar here would be the Hovers.
Lasher.
Lasher.
Reifenberg.
Fingers.
Fuchs.
No.
Oh.
No. But, you know, Reifenberg.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of them don't really realize that.
They're starting to.
Okay. I went through the Germantown school, you know, system, not knowing that I was a Palatine descender, not even knowing why it was called Germantown. So there was a disconnect
mm-hmm.
here. So it's only been in the recent times, when the 300th anniversary was celebrated in 2010, that people like Susan and stuff got a... was able to bring that, you know, story forward. It was sort of, you know, forgotten.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And now in schools, the kids know, you know, why it was called Germantown.
Right. We started in 2010 educating the kids about the Palatines. And so by the time they got to high, you know, they get to high school, they know about them. I do a project every year funded by the GCEF and the Hoover Trust, and it really is to bring awareness of sense of place, you know, where these people, where these kids live, who their ancestors were, why this place is here, how it's survived, how it's thrived, and then being able to move in a forward direction and be contributing members of society, you know, based on their history.
I think that's very nice, because a lot of us, where I grew up, I knew nothing of, very little of my town.
Hmm.
It wasn't mm-hmm. talked about at all at school,
mm-hmm.
where I came from,
mm-hmm.
or the town's name.
Mm-hmm.
I picked it up here and there.
Mm-hmm.
Very little was ever taught.
Interesting. It is, like Alvin says, he didn't know. He didn't know until, you know, he was much older. And now we can't get enough of the details. And because we've been fortunate to work with Dr. Lindner, who is an archaeologist with Bard College, we are seeing a more complete picture of what life was like in 1710 and forward. It provides a pretty spectacular narrative of daily life, and we feel really fortunate about that.
They just came up here and then... just started off and built houses?
No. Alvin, you can tell that story.
No, it was an entrepreneurial, you know, thing between, you know, Governor Hunter and the crown, you know, the queen. They were supported the first, you know, 2 years with you know, tense when they showed up in October. That's why, if you look at the early maps, they were always called camps. You had East Camp on this side of the river.
And West Camp
over
there.
West Camp on the other side of the river.
Because they were really camps.
But once the naval store, you know, thing sort of, you know, fell apart by 17, you know, 12, then things got a little...
Do you know about the naval stores?
They planned to find a certain pine here.
Okay, yeah. So the deal was that... Governor Hunter's proposal to Queen Anne was, look, you can get out from under Scandinavia, you know, buying their hemp and buying their tar, just like today, or we used to be under the thumb of the Middle East for oil, right? So he said, look, you know, we'll send these people to the New World. They will go out and they will collect pine and they'll process pine tar and make rope. And we will send it back. And in exchange, after a certain length of time, they will have their own piece of land to live on.
7 years.
7 years.
They're indentured for 7 years.
Yeah, indentured. Unfortunately, you know, they didn't come with horses and they didn't come with any viable means of transportation. And the distance between here and where the trees were is about, I would say, 7 or 8 miles
now, as the car. Probably a little bit, you know, closer than that.
Okay.
You know, if you look at the, you know, the original source material, the documentary history of New York, it's, you know, one of the most recorded events in the early, you know, colonial history, because you had this, you know, thing that was, you know, being supported by the crown, and you had the border trade. You had a group called the Society for the Propagation of the Gospel that was putting money, you know, into it. So there's a lot of correspondence going back and forth. It's an easy thing to research.
Yeah, and the problem is that it was far enough away that they had to leave their families here and go, and they couldn't come back every day like we commute. Another problem was that the processing of this pine pitch was a science that not very many people were familiar with. There was a man who was hired to do the processing, and apparently he didn't come with all the skills that he purported to have.
Well, the original guy was a man named Bridger, who was the Queen's Forester General out of Maine. And he, you know, a lot of historians will say the reason why it didn't succeed is because of the pine trees weren't...
A wrong type of tree, wrong species.
But this man knew, you know, his trees. So you have to assume that Bridger would have said, well, maybe they're not the greatest.
But they can do the job.
They'll suffice. You can make, you know, tar and pitch out of these trees. But he sort of got disenchanted within a year, and he left, and they hired a man named Sackett, who came from, you know, what's called the Little Nine Partners or the Big Nine Partners, just south of here.
In Dutchess County.
Mm-hmm. And he had supposedly some knowledge, but his knowledge of how to do it was a little bit different than Bridger's, so now you're changing leadership and
it ended up being a failed mission.
Yeah, the real reason why it failed is because you had a two-party system in England. You had the Whigs and you had the Tories. The Whigs were, you know, their philosophy was the more immigrants that, this is going to sound pretty familiar, you know, to what happens in this country, you know, in different times, that the more immigrants that came in would be eventually... England is now becoming an industrial country. They would be buyers for your things. So bring as many people in as you can. As Hunter was bringing the close to 3,000 people over, the Whigs lost power and the Tories, you know, took control. The Tories were isolationists. Close the borders. We don't want these foreigners to come in and take in our menial jobs and things like that. So now Hunter doesn't have the support any longer of, you know, the leadership
crown.
In You know, Queen Anne tried to keep it going, but she could not get, you know, the bills through Parliament and stuff like that. That's why Hunter spent 20,000 pounds of his own
and his wife's
money, Lady Hay, to keep it going. Mm-hmm. So that's another reason why, if you study this, the history will say, well, they didn't allow the Palatines to get their 40 acres of land and stuff like that. Well, in truth, that's the only collateral that Hunter had to get his money back. So the whole Palatine thing didn't get settled until Hunter left and a man named Burnett, you know, came here in 1723, and then they finally settled the thing. By then, most of them, like, you know, Sue said, were in the Schoharie Valley and the Mohawk Valley. Mm-hmm. And the 63 families that decided to stay here in 1723. Mm-hmm. But like I say, it took them 20 more years mm-hmm. before they actually got the papers to say. And that's why probably nothing was really, you know, constructed here to last any length of time until the 1740s.
Right.
This parsonage is built in 1767. I can take that, I can say that with some certainty, because last fall we did a thing called dendrochronology, where we tested the beams with tree rings, and a lot of them dated in the decade of the 1760s. So.
Mm-hmm. Actually, we have one from 1723.
And
we think that that came from another building, from a church that was over on what is now 9G, that's no longer there. So they brought that over to shore something up here. But
it was a long process mm-hmm. from the fall of 1710 until finally in 1743.
Mm-hmm.
Deeds were
disputed and yeah.
Well, there's a lot here, you know, for other programs. I mean, I've walked through here once. Mm-hmm. I plan to come maybe in a few weeks. I'll mm-hmm. get back here too.
Yeah.
Well, I think if I came through and had the tour, it'll give me more information.
Sure.
When you see things.
Yes, because we have a lot of displays downstairs that give you an idea of and timeline and how things happened mm. and where the artifacts might have come from mm. based on cross-referencing from manuals and, you know, trade or books that archaeologists use in order to, you know, reference things that were imported or things that were made here. And also Alvin can talk to you about the architecture and, you know, what that tells about the time period.
I want to thank Susan Rabb and Alvin Scheffer.
Mm-hmm.
Coming here. We're at in the Germantown Parsonage on Maple Avenue in Germantown. And it's
happy to have you.
Well, thank you so much. In spite of the downpour, we have more of an understanding today about the Germantown Parsonage and about the Palatine German.
So I just want to let you know, you might want to edit this out, but there's no N in the middle of Palatine. Oh. It's Palatine.
Palatine.
A lot of people make that mistake, but so I'd like to correct them. Palatine. Not Palatine.
Oh.
Yeah, but you can edit whatever.
Palatine.
That's correct. That's
Germans.
Correct. Yeah.
We'll
yeah.
put it back somewhere.
Yeah, from the Palatinate.
Palatinate.
You know, the false area of Germany.
Mm-hmm. Thank you so much.